clean up your whole backyard. You tend to your business out.
Clean it up, mister.
Welcome back to the 4th of July celebration at Rosie on the House. Well, we're always proud to be a big part of the red, white, and blue celebration. I certainly hope, if you're a regular listener of the show, you've taken the time this morning to raise Old Glory somewheres on your property. Hang it from the fascias, buy a flagpole, run it up the flagpole, and get it displayed proudly and boldly. Because that's what we're all about.
If you don't have one, flag or flagpole, at RosieOnTheHouse.com, there's a link, where can I find American-made products? At the bottom of that article are resources in Arizona for American-made flagpoles and flags.
I'm not racist, I'm not prejudiced, but if I see you flying an American flag with a Made in China sign on it, I'm going to tear it down.
That's it.
All right, let's get to the calls. We've got Ann calling from Scottsdale. We have an open line if you'd like to jump on board. Let us help make you the hero, the king of your backyard barbecue this afternoon. We've got the king of barbecue right here in studio live this morning, Val Romero from the Arizona Grill and Hearth Company in Tucson, Arizona. Our number is 1-888-767-4348. Good morning, Miss Ann.
Hi, guys. Happy 4th of July.
And to you as well.
There's been a lot of talk about a new type of grill that's a pellet grill, and I was wondering what your guest had to say about that, and if he thought that it was a product that was superior to the more conventional grills that were out there.
Interesting. I have to say, I am not familiar with that, but Val, I will tell you, I have been through a wood pellet manufacturing plant, and what I saw them using to put those pellets together isn't anything I'd want to cook my food on.
Well, those for the heating stoves is a little bit different process versus the pellets that are used for using in a pellet grill.
Okay.
And actually, pellet grills have actually been out since the mid-90s, as a matter of fact. Whitfield made a pellet grill back in the 90s. They're just gaining a lot more notoriety and popularity in the last few years. I know a company called Traeger did a great job start marketing those grills. There's a lot of other ones out there. Like, I sell the Memphis pellet grill and the Louisiana pellet grill. There's Green Mountain. There's so many different pellet grill manufacturers out there. The nice thing about the pellet grill is you can achieve those nice smoky flavorings of your whatever food product you want to do with the push of a button. You set the temperature, it feeds the pellets into a hopper, it does all the work for you, you come out looking like a hero, and it keeps the food very moist and juicy, versus a charcoal one where it's a little more labor intensive. You add the chunks that go along with it. Pellet grills, you fill up the hopper, you plug it on in, you dial in what you want, put your food on there, come back, whatever your recipe calls for, 2, 4, 8, 12 hours. The only thing you have to be cautious of is when you go to bed, if you're doing something overnight in that smoker, fill that hopper.
Oh, okay.
You run out of pellets, you run out of heat.
You know what?
You can use it as both a smoker and a grill?
On some of the different manufacturers, you can. Some are designed more just as smokers, but some of your higher-end ones, your midline ones, they achieve hotter temperatures so you can get a grilling system. I know, like on the Louisiana grill, they actually have a sear zone plate on it where you can actually remove the smoker a hood off of the burner pan, so you're actually getting the burning of those pellets directly underneath the food that you're cooking.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Oh, my pleasure.
All right, Miss Ann, thanks for the call. You know what, Val? I decide what I'm going to cook at our barbecue get-togethers based on who's coming. If they're folks I'm not particularly interested in visiting with, I fire up the barbecue and I barbecue something because I have to be fiddling with something all the time. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, you're making the patties or you're putting on the rubs or you're cooking it or you're asking, please don't distract me right now. I've got everything on. Right? But if it's a group of folks I really want to visit with, I default to the rotisserie or the smoker. You put them on, you forget about them, you visit. There's nothing I like more than an entire skewer of Cornish game hens on the rotisserie after about an hour and a half. There's hardly anything better than that.
No, that's very, very true. And that is kind of the thing. I know, like, for me at the barbecue parties, some people want to stop and visit, but I'm running here and there, checking the smoker and checking all these other things as well, too. But, no, that's very, very true for a lot of people.
Yeah, the smoker, once you try it a couple times and you get familiar with the one you've got, I mean, you bet you light that baby, you get her going, you set your whatever you're smoking in there. And you just forget about it for as long as it takes. I mean, we've got a smoked chicken recipe that and then once you've got the smoker going, once the chickens are done, then I'll stuff in another 8 Cornish game hens, and then I'll stuff in like 5 pounds of sausage. As long as you got the smoker going, get it all done, right? Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. And the nice thing about, like you mentioned with the smoker, you set it and you can forget it. You can go and do whatever you want. I know for me personally, once I was smoking bacon for 2 hours, I went on a 2-hour hike. Came back, temperature maintained the same. It was awesome.
We actually have a call who wants your input on how to cook bacon. But real quick, before we get to
Jim. I did not see
that. That's right. That's right. You couldn't even see it.
What's your one favorite thing to grill? Or do you have one favorite thing? I mean, I don't have one favorite. I don't know that I could answer that. But do you have one favorite thing? What's your signature?
Well, my signature thing that I do, and I do it at my barbecue parties, is a Portuguese Hawaiian sausage. I smoke Hawaiian, it's Govia's Portuguese Hawaiian sausage. You have to search for it to find it, but it is probably one of my signature choices.
That rebuilt my appetite after the hot dog conversation earlier.
Hopefully we'll get an invite to this barbecue event. We can taste them sometime. Jim, calling from Tucson, wants to talk to Val. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Oh, great. Fabulous.
Good. Funny you should mention bacon. I got myself an old one of those kind of cylindrical charcoal smoker grills, you know, grill on smoke, and I converted it to electric, and it works really well for smoking. I've smoked trout on it and stuff, you know.
Nice.
But I'm going to try my hand at making some bacon, and I wanted to find out what is a good brine to use and what are the best kind of wood chips to use for bacon.
There you go.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I know for me, I really haven't done much of the brining for my bacon. There's a local place in town, I mentioned the sausage shop, where they do have, you know, the bacon where they can slice it up into the thicknesses that you want. I prefer to utilize them when I'm doing that.
And they're down in Tucson.
They're down
where,
in Tucson.
Where are they located?
They're on Prince Avenue near Prince and Oracle area.
Okay. All right.
Okay. And so what I've done when I did bacon is I put my smoker down to about 175 degrees, and I love, for some reason, the apple flavoring on my bacon.
Romy, can you smell it? I can smell it right now.
Yeah, like I said, when I was smoking, the bacon when I was taking my hike, I just put that apple chunks, or you can do chips on like an electric smoker, and it just enhances the flavor of the bacon. But what you notice more, because afterwards we did hamburgers, so I tried it, you could taste a little bit of the apple in the bacon, but once you put it on a burger with another different flavor, the apple just jumped right on out of you. And that's been my success with cooking bacon on the smoker.
All right, so very successful. There you go, Jim. There's a source for you to find the bacon supply and a tip on how to get it done. Okay, you can't talk barbecues without talking hamburgers and hot dogs. Before we go to hot dogs, how do you grill the perfect hamburger?
There's so many different ways to cook a hamburger.
Is it slow and easy or hot and fast?
Well, it all depends on how you like it. And I'm all about experimenting as well. We just did one where we did a cheese-stuffed burger for lunch for the crew at the office the other day, and my
that's
daughter did that.
That's what I'm talking about.
And, there's nothing wrong with a lot of cheese on your burger as well,
that's
either.
That's right. That's right.
And I've tried it both different ways, doing a slow smoked or fast cook. And personally for me, and again, it's everybody's different preference. I know my dad loves everything burnt, so his goes on his goes on first and comes off last. Sorry, Dad, if you're listening. I told your secret. But I know for me, I like to do a nice strong sear on the outside, nice big patties. I get the nice big old buns on that one. Strong sear on the outside. And I like my steaks rare to medium rare
on that one.
Nice, nice red in the middle. You bite into it and the juice runs down.
It's got to be running down your elbow.
Oh,
yeah. It isn't right. It's overcooked.
And the cheese going down.
Yes.
That would be my preference.
All right. Hot dogs. Today is the national or global hot dog eating contest.
Yes, it's also, was it July's National Hot Dog Month?
The whole month is whole National month. Hot Dog. It's hard to beat a good hot dog. You know, and I'm not one for steaming them. I like them grilled as opposed to being water, you know, steamed. The National Hot Dog Eating Contest was today.
It's over.
Oh, it's over.
It's over. It's already happened. Joey Chestnut, and I'm just going to read off the headline here from USA Today, entered the 2015 Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest at Coney Island on an 8-year winning streak. However, Matt Megatoad Stoney downed 62 hot dogs in 10 minutes to win. The standard Nathan hot dog is 280 calories with 18 grams of fat, meaning Stoney inhaled 17,360 calories and 1,116 grams of fat.
Did he live?
This was 30 minutes ago, so at least at the time, he was alive. I don't know if he still is.
I don't think I'd be proud of that.
62 in 10 minutes.
You should see their picture. They're completely both just sweating.
Of course. I can't breathe.
But Mr. Chestnut, he was like 8 years reigning champion.
Yeah,
wow.
Pretty crazy.
Well, he got unseated.
To each his own. If that's what makes you happy, Chestnut and Stoney, God bless you.
Well, we're gonna come back and talk a little bit more about grilling that perfect hot dog, grilling that perfect chicken thigh, and we're here with the king of Arizona barbecue, Val Romero, from the Arizona Grill and Hearth Company down in Tucson, the now standing reigning king of barbecue in southern Arizona. We're glad you drove up this morning and joined us. Folks, we'll be back. If you've got a question for Val, we're running out of time. Top of the hour is right around the corner. 1-888-767-4348.